Morning, I'd like to talk about a very important subject, the subject of gospel preaching. There's no greater subject than that of gospel preaching, because the way the gospel preaching is, with sound gospel preaching, whether it's the kind of preaching God wants, is essential, because God looks at it as being essential. We need to look at it as being something extremely important in God's eyes. The title of our lesson this morning is The Preaching God Wants. We're going to look and see the kind of preaching that God wants and expects of those who stand in front of the pulpit, those who proclaim the gospel, that they do it in the way God wants, and not the way that pleases the audience or pleases men in any way. And I've subtitled this Effective versus Ineffective Preaching. And what I mean by this, we're going to look and see exactly what that is. The fact that there is effective preaching, which accomplishes the will of God, by preaching the way that God prescribes. And there's a way that God wants preaching to be done. And ineffective preaching does not accomplish the will of God in the way God prescribes. And so we're going to look at this lesson from two perspectives. Doing God's will the way He wants it done, the way that men are doing it, because there's a lot of pulpits that are ineffective. They're not effective because they've left the really way that God wants us to preach His word. I want to give an example of this in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. Here the Bible speaks about King Saul, and he coming back from destroying the Amalekites, but he did not do exactly what God wanted him to do. And the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 15, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And here he's saying, I've done exactly what God told me to do. But yet, in reality, he did not do what God said. In verse 14, Samuel reminds him of that fact. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this, the bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And that tells us that in reality, we can do some of what God says, as far as even preaching is concerned. But if we do not fully carry out the message in the way God wants it to be done, in the way that God He prescribes for us, it can be ineffective, just as King Saul was in not doing the will of God. He left out. He brought back King Agag. He brought back some of the sheep and the oxen. And Samuel heard that, and he said, You've not done the will of God. And so we can look at that as far as the preaching is concerned. Another scripture reminds us of this is in Matthew chapter 7, in verses 21 to 23. Here the Bible says, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Here's Jesus speaking. He says, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have done many wonderful works, cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Here they're showing evidences that they've done some things in the name of the Lord. But Jesus says in verse 23, though, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Here were some who thought they were doing the will of God, but yet they were actually doing something else, because Jesus says they were workers of iniquity. That word iniquity means lawlessness. In other words, they weren't following the prescribed way God taught in His word. And so we can do things in the name of religion, but not actually be doing it in the name of Jesus, as far as following His authority, His direction. And so that's important for us. When it comes to preaching, we can do the same thing. We can preach some of the most eloquent sermons. We can preach some of the sermons that just gets the audience to their knees and to really respond. But if it's not preaching God's way, that response and all the eloquent preaching is in vain, just like this is in vain. The deeds that some do can be in vain if it's not followed in God's way. Let's look at our lesson text. We had our reading from 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5 and see what the Bible says. Here it says in verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Here Paul is charging Timothy with a very solemn charge that preaching the gospel is a serious business. Anyone who stands in the pulpit must take it seriously. It's something that God wants us to do because souls are at stake. We are in a battle for those who are lost and dying in sin. And part of that way we reach them is when we invite our friends and our neighbors together and we invite them to come and listen to someone preach the gospel. There they can be converted. That's why it is serious. Begin with verse 2. It says, "Preach the word, being instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine." Now that's effective preaching, the way God says. To be instant in season, using the word of God. And using it all the time. Being instant in season, out of season. Reproving, rebuking in our preaching. Exhorting people to do what's right and live by what the gospel is. And also the doctrine. That's what we use. The word of God. And nothing else is what really matters. He goes on to say in verse 3, he says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." And that is ineffective preaching. That's the kind of preaching that leaves the word of God. That time it does not endure sound doctrine. That doctrine that's helpful to us. The congregation needs sound, good sound gospel preaching. But notice verse 5. He says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." He's telling Timothy, I want you to do everything a good preacher should do. A good evangelist should do exactly. He should watch all things, endure afflictions. In other words, do everything you can to upbuild the cause of Christ. That's the kind of preaching that's needed in pulpits all over the world today. But is that in reality what takes place today? I believe people sometimes leave out some things. But I want you to look also at what the Greek says. The literal Greek text of this reads. He says, in the Greek text, it goes word for word this way. It says, "Work do of an evangelist, your service fully carry out." And that's what we've got to do as preachers and teachers of God's word. That's why I've devoted my life to gospel preaching. So I can fully carry out the work that God's way, the way he prescribes for us to follow. And that means doing the Bible way, listening to what the Word of God. That's our standard. That's our authority in all things in religion today. And so we look at, first point we'll look at this morning, in effective gospel preaching is preaching from the Word. And how do we know that is what? Because he told Timothy, preach the Word in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. And that means Bible-centered preaching. The Bible, the Word of God, needs to be first and foremost in our preaching. It means book, chapter, and verse preaching, like the preachers of old have done and should continue doing, is to preach book, chapter, and verse and point and say, this is what the Bible says. This is the book and the chapter and the verse, and we know it comes from God when we can read it from God's Word. The kind of preaching that has a thus saith the Word of God. And that's how we know it's from God, from the inspired Word of God. When we understand, we can read it for ourselves. And that's really what needs to be done in this world. In pulpits today, people have left that. But Peter says in 1 Peter 4:11, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." And that's telling us, if we're going to speak the words of, or speak before an audience, it needs to be by the words or the oracles of God. And that's how we understand, that's how I know to speak before you this morning, is the fact that I've chosen the Word of God as my lesson text, is what I'm preaching today. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible says, Paul says, "And whatsoever you do, in word or deed," notice that, in word, that could mean preaching, "and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." And that's talking about our preaching today. We need to have Jesus as our authority and doing all things in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's also preaching that's backed up by the Word of God. Do you know when I say something, I make a point in a lesson, I need to back that up by God's Word. I don't just need to throw something out there and say, well, this is what you need to do, and I don't have Scripture for it. I need to have the Word of God backing up everything I say. And that's Bible-centered preaching when we do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. Let's back that up with the Word of God. Here Paul says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Notice what he said. The reason why he knew Christ died, he was according to the Scriptures. and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. He said that twice. And that's also something for us to look at. When Paul repeats how he says something and the way he says something, it ought to stick with us. That it's according to the Scriptures that we should make any point in our lessons or our Bible studies today. And ineffective preaching is not preaching from the Word. Men want to get away from God's Word. But we should not ever want to get away from God's Word. This is exactly what the devil wants. You know, if the devil had a plan for us to get a church away from the true and straight and narrow path of right and get onto error, he would want preachers to stop preaching the Word. But that's something we absolutely cannot do if we want to be faithful to God. And that's not Bible-centered preaching when we get away from the Word. We start preaching the opinions and the traditions of men, like the Pharisees, who had the tradition of the elders. They were leaving the Word of God, which was by Moses. They had their traditions. They had their opinions about what God's Word said. That's not good enough. God's Word is what sinners are preaching today. It needs to what be centered in our preaching. Or quotes from famous authors as authority. Now, there's nothing wrong if you quote somebody as for a particular reason. But if we do that to make every point, we have some authority, somebody, some scholar, some person from long ago was recognized as somebody great among theologians, then that's what the denominational world many times do, is they take authors and they say, well, brother so-and-so, brother big preacher says this way, and that's why we need to do it this way. But that's not using the Word of God. The Word of God is the only answer for everything in religion today. When it comes to telling jokes, you'd be surprised, but I don't tell any jokes when it comes. I may do it inadvertently. You may smile at some of the things, the way I say things. But as far as telling jokes, that's not the reason I'm here. I'm here not to entertain or tell jokes in any way, but to preach the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. When it comes to entertaining stories, you know, there's preachers that can tell good stories, and there's a place for that. But to have everything we say, a great, long, entertaining story about somebody, preacher goes to Africa and all the things that happen to him, people can leave the church building knowing more about Africa than they do about the Word of God. You know, I really want to stick with what the Word of God says, and I hope that you do too. The Word of God is the center of our preaching. When it comes to motivational pep talks, that's one thing that's done in preachers' pulpits around the country today. But it's not what God wants. Simply to have a pep talk, try to rally the troops in some way, is not all there is to gospel preaching. There's times we exhort people to faithfulness. But you've seen people today in the world, you watch television, you've seen people that you don't have any scriptures. All there are is just, oh, how good everything is and how sweet and so honey would just melt in their mouths. Well, that's not God-centered preaching. It's what we call feel-good preaching of today. And we've got to stay away from that and use the Word of God as our text. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. In other words, it's the only thing that's really profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's the only thing that really helps us to be faithful to God. The kind of, in our pulpit we need today, is that which uses the Word of God. And also, effective preaching preaches all of the Word. Not just some of the Word, but all of the Word. In Acts 20, verses 25, beginning, the Bible says, here Paul was speaking to the Ephesian elders, says, and now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. They weren't going to see Paul anymore. Paul was leaving. He had been with them for several years, but now he was leaving. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all men. Now, how could Paul say that? Because, next verse says, for I have not shunned, in other words, I didn't try to keep myself from declaring unto you all the counsel of God. Some translation, like the American Standard, has the whole counsel of God. He did not shun to declare unto them everything God's Word had to say on any subject. That's what we need. We need all the Word to help us to grow, to be mature Christians. We need to have the Word of God pronounced to us and pronounced often, preached to us from the pulpit of God's Word. And ineffective preaching is not preaching all the Word. And that's really sad to say, but there are people today who simply will not talk about certain subjects. They're not spoken of. And this is exactly what the devil wants. He wants us to steer clear of certain topics because it's too controversial or it's too messy, or we don't want to talk about that because it drives people away. If there are people who need to repent and change their lives and follow God, and if that kind of preaching will help them to do that, why not preach all the counsel of God? And so there are some who avoid any controversy, who want to be politically correct, or they maybe want to hedge for a friend. You know, there's preachers today that will, if they have a friend in the audience, they have somebody they're trying to impress in some way or don't want to make an enemy of, they'll not preach the whole counsel of God. They will leave out because if they know sin is in someone's life, they'll say, well, I can't preach that because I'll make an enemy of someone. And Paul said, am I now therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth to the Galatians? The Galatians needed the whole counsel of God, and so do we. And there are some topics that are not taught in some pulpits because of that. But there are effective preaching. It's preaching that edifies and prepares the church. And that's exactly what we need, is that which builds up the church and prepares it to do the work that God gives us to do. In Acts 20, verse 32, the Bible says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. And what he's saying is, he's leaving them the word of God. He was leaving the Ephesian elders that would not be with that church anymore. But the word of God is what was able. You know, Paul in some way could help them to be edified, but it's simply the word of God that builds us up. And edifying preaching digs deep into the word. We're not afraid of serious Bible study. And we want to search fully for the meaning of what the word of God says. When we're studying a particular passage, there may be times we may spend more time on one verse of Scripture than we do other verses of Scripture. But I'll tell you, it's time well spent if we take more time to study the Word of God. Let's not be afraid to fully search out everything God's Word has to say about a topic. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13, gives us the reason why we have what we have in the church today. It says, he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now we know we have the apostles only by their writings. We only have prophets in the times of the New Testament church. But we do have evangelists and pastors and teachers today in the Lord's church. And why is that? Verse 12 tells us. The word for means the reason why. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come into unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He gives us the reason why. Gospel preaching, the evangelist, why he does his work. Because he wants to edify the flock. He wants to build up the flock and cause them to have what they need to have to grow mature spiritually like Christ. You know, preaching that prepares for good works. You know, we need to talk about what good works are, and we talk about and fully know what we're supposed to do as far as Christian life is concerned. We need to talk about evangelism. You know, preaching is we talk about what we do, and we try to bring our neighbors and our friends and our co-workers into the church building, but also go out to their houses and have Bible studies with them. You need to be prepared to do that. It's not only my job to go out and have Bible studies with others. It's your job as well. I work with you to help prepare you to teach the gospel to others. And then also to know the truth from error. You know, that's also your job, my responsibility as well, but all of us need to know the difference between right and wrong. That's why sermons sometimes compare and contrast what is done many times, with truth being what we want to look at and we want to preach and do, but also error we want to stay away from. So we know the difference between truth and error. And we want to correct false teaching. That's something we have to do as far as living the Christian life. Know what that is and tell our neighbors and friends, you know, that's not right. What you say there is not right because here's what the Word of God says. When we do that, we're helping our neighbors to see the truth. And good gospel preaching can prepare you to do the work of ministry, to do the work that God gives us to do. Now, ineffective preaching is all sugar but no substance. What I mean by that is it can look good, it might taste good, it might feel good to us, but yet it's not preparing us to do the things we just talked about. It's all fluff, like cotton candy. All sugar, no substance. It leaves the church unprepared to do the work that God gives us to do. And I'm sad to say that in many pulpits across this country, there are pulpits that are really not interested in preparing the flock to do the work that God gives them to do. And that's why the flock many times cannot discern truth from error. It's not easily understood what the truth about what God's word says. And many times we'll have questions for preachers and Bible teachers in class because you're talking to your neighbor and they have a particular belief and you don't understand why that's wrong and you need to show them why it's wrong. And so that's why we need to discern truth from error. And ignorance leads to apostasy. That's what the devil wants. He wants pulpits to not teach the whole counsel of God, not be ineffective when it comes to preparing the church. And that leads to apostasy. How I know this is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Here the Bible says that we henceforth be no more children. And I want to stop right there. How are children? You think about how children, they're sometimes gullible. They're easy to trust people. If I tell my son that the sun rises in the west and sets in the east, he might believe me because he trusts his dad. But one thing about that is, children can also learn the truth. When they grow up, they'll learn that that's not the case. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Children can be like that. But the Bible says not to be like children, not to be gullible, not to be easily deceived. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's our job as gospel preachers, to help you not be deceived. You don't want to be deceived, and I don't want you to be deceived. If I can do anything to help you, prepare you to go out and be one who is an evangelist in some sense, to go out and carry the gospel message to your friends and neighbors to the best of your ability, then I can help you do that. Then let me do that. Because that's what God wants. He wants us to help each other to be good followers of Christ. And then also effective preaching is that which is bold and courageous. Ephesians 6, verses 18 and 20. The Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, now who's speaking? Paul's speaking. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know what Paul said? Help me to be bold. Pray for me to be bold. I want you to pray for me to be bold, because the world needs bold preachers who preach the gospel. We have a lot of weak-kneed preachers, ones who give in and compromise the gospel. But we need courage and boldness to do the work that God gives us to do, because souls are at stake. And the preacher does not need to give in to any kind of compromise or any kind of thing that would not help the congregation to be faithful like it should be. You know, Jesus was that way. He was our master example. He's the one we need to follow when it comes to how we need to live our lives. And if Jesus was bold, and if he was the way he needed to be, you and I need to be the same way. When he told the Pharisees in Matthew 23, he called them hypocrites, he called them vipers many times. And why did he do that? Because he wanted to be bold and loving toward them. But ineffective preaching doesn't address the needs of the hearers because there's a lack of boldness. Afraid to speak the truth. Also afraid of a fear of loss of popularity. Everyone wants to be liked. Sometimes you say something to your neighbors, they're not going to like you very well. And there may be times you may not like me because of the things that I would say. If you're living in sin, and that sin is something that you cannot stay in sin, I will rebuke that sin. Now, why do I do that? I don't do it because I don't love you. I do it because I do love you. And that's why we all want to go to heaven. If there's any unrepentant sin, we need to get that out of our lives so we can be saved. And we also need to see that effective preaching is that which is clear to the point. Matthew 3, verses 1 and 2. Hear about John the Baptist. John the Baptist said in verse 2, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now that's, but John was a very bold, and he was clear and to the point, wasn't he? He was one who said exactly what needed to be said in few words. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He also said in verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits for repentance. And think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And what we can say about John was, he spoke it like it was. He made it clear to people, you need to repent because that sin will cause you to be lost. You know, we need preachers like that today. Preachers who love the flock, love the souls of men and women. That's effective. That will work. And we don't need to say, well, you know, ineffective preaching is the kind that does not do that. Let's stick with what God's Word says every time. That way we know that's right and true because it comes from God. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God, I hope that you would listen to this message and realize preaching, the purpose of gospel preaching is to save those that believe. And you need to come out with sin and repent of anything they're doing that's false. If you desire to come to God by faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you diligently seek God? Do you believe in him? Then repent of your sins. Acts 17 verse 30 tells us it's a command of God that all men everywhere should repent. Then you need to confess Jesus Christ. What you believe needs to be spoken. It needs to be said to others that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How do I know that? The Bible tells me so. In Romans 10 verse 10 the Bible says, for if the heart man believeth unto righteousness, the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And baptism into Christ to put on Christ is how we need to follow God. It's the last step that puts us into Christ. Galatians 3 verse 27. You know, without baptism, we're still in our sins. We need a Savior. We need someone to follow, Jesus Christ. And he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Do you want to be saved this morning? Do you want to follow Christ every step of your life? And know that you're walking hand in hand with him, and that heaven will be your home if you leave this world in death. Then why don't you obey the gospel as together we stand and we sing the song of invitation?